session number 18569, Reel 7.
May Reel 7.
Where'd we got to?
Yeah. You were just saying a helpful member of the WRVS.
A fairly senior member of, I think it was the WRVS, came out and was able to take note of the value of these little packages that had been put together by the London Borough. Because, I mean, my soldiers were doing patrolling and they would come across a desperate situation and they needed something that they could give to help because there was going to be a delay before they could report back and people could do anything more positive. But in fact, I can remember there was an engineer, Lieutenant Colonel, came out. And, of course, one of the problems was transport, because everything had been under 5 feet of water. And so not a great number of vehicles were running. He came and said, "Where is my transport?" So I'm afraid I said, "You're standing on it at the moment." But, in fact, what we did, we set up roadblocks, and any vehicle that was moving that couldn't produce an extremely good reason why it shouldn't continue to move was requisitioned and used as was most appropriate in trying to restore order to the whole problem. But in fact, a complete battalion was sent out from the UK and a mobile shower and bath unit, laundry and bath unit was sent out because, I mean, there was serious, and drinking water was a serious problem. I mean, certainly if the company got its water from the frigate in rum containers. And I can remember at one stage, one evening, because of course there was no electricity, going into the room which we were using for as a mess for eating, and thinking the silhouettes of a couple of the people in the room didn't look quite what I was expecting. I then discovered, in fact, that they were two Royal Air Force nursing sisters, which explained why their silhouette wasn't exactly the shape that I'd been expecting. And so that presented problems as to where we were going to put them. It being, in those days, basically a male organisation. And we had the sectors in the library. And I thought, I know what we can do. We can put a couple of blankets and screen off one of the sectors in the thing. And we can lend them a couple of camp beds. And that'll solve the problem. And then the thing was, which sector should we use? And eventually we decided on the useful arts sector. So we screened off the useful arts sector, and they then suddenly decided that life would be more amenable if they went and spent their time with the frigate, where there were more facilities. And so they left us, and we got our two blankets back, and we got our two camp beds back. And I'm not quite sure where they did their work. We didn't really see very much more of them.
How long did you stay there for?
We were there about three and a half weeks, something like that. And I was then had to leave about two-thirds of my company there. I brought back about 30-something out of my company because they wanted to reinforce the company there because there was a lot of tearing up to do. It was the battalion that had come out from the United Kingdom was due to go back, but they needed an enhanced presence in Belize once that had gone back, because there was still mutterings from Guatemala, and it was thought that Guatemala might think that this was a good opportunity to have a greater presence in Belize. So I then went back to Jamaica and had to, all the married men from Belize had been sent back to Jamaica because, of course, their houses, their families had been taken out of the houses and the houses had been looted, so there was nothing left in their houses at all. And so they came back. And I had to reform my company by getting people from elsewhere and using the married men who'd come back from Belize. And I was given, I think it was 8 days, to have an operational company again.
Now, you were telling me earlier that you were also in Northern Ireland. When yes. And how did that come about?
I also got involved in Guyana, with the rioting in Guyana.
Well, let's do that Guyana now, because that's still the Caribbean.
Yes. Yeah. Having reformed the company in early, I think it was about January or February, 62, there was serious intercommunal rioting in Guyana. And as the reserve company, well, one was once again called on. This time, we were told to move the whole company down to Guyana. Initially, it was because it was thought there could be rioting. And in fact, Caribbean Air managed to get hold of the BOAC standby aircraft from New York. And we put the whole company onto this Britannia. And it could take the whole company, all right. And the bar was still on the Britannia. And we flew down to Atkinson Field in Guyana as a precaution. When we arrived, I was met by the company second in command of the resident company, who said, can you get your company down into Georgetown as quickly as possible? There is serious rioting in the town. The resident company is deployed there at the moment. All we know is that 6 policemen have been killed so far. Will you please hurry? And so we said, you know, is there any transport? And we managed to scrape up some transport. I, in fact, went down in the Swilken tractor's truck. And when we arrived, we'd had a certain bit of difficulty. Of course, we hadn't been allowed to travel in the aircraft with our weapons with us. They'd all been in the hold, and they had to be taken out and reunited with the company. And when we arrived in Georgetown, which I'd never seen before because one hadn't been allowed to go there on a recce in case this sort of thing had happened, when I arrived there, the whole of the dock side area, known as the Stellings, was on fire because the docks were full of rum and molasses. The flames were about 250 foot high, so it was quite a conflagration. The Dartmouth training squadron, which happened to have been in the area, had been put ashore in the internal security role.
Which training squadron?
The Dartmouth training squadron, the midshipmen from Dartmouth. They were acting in the internal security role with loaded weapons on street corners. The resident company had in fact had to use force. They had in fact, in order to break up the rioting, they had shot and killed four people using the old classic box formation, you know, of fixed bayonets and man in the red shirt, one round fire, which had worked extremely well. I mean, it had stopped the rioting dead, but it had killed four people. But they were completely deployed by that evening. Our total reserve from our two companies, plus the midshipmen, etc., was a section of eight. Was the all we had left in the kitty to cope with any unexpected problem. We were based on the police headquarters. And it had been inter-ethnic was the trouble. Basically, sort of Indian versus African. I think there had been, by the evening, something like 200 or 300 individual requests for protection, which of course one couldn't cope with at all. It all had to be done for the whole area as opposed to individuals. But in fact, order had been restored by dawn. They were basically on a reasonably even keel. I mean, you couldn't stop sweating, sort of thing, but it was on a reasonably even keel. But it required the UK to send out a complete brigade from the UK because, of course, we'd only been dealing with Georgetown, the capital. You needed to be able to spread out further than that. The remainder of the Royal Hampshire Battalion was, to the extent it could be, was called in, and we had an element up in Nassau, and they were extracted. We weren't able to take the company from Belize, because of course it was only about 2.5 months or so from the hurricane, and there was a lot of clearing up still to be done there. And we were able to extract more people from Jamaica. But not all that number. But with the brigade from the UK, that produced sufficient.
Now, I think I'd asked you about Northern Ireland, if you can go on to that now, please.
Yes. Northern Ireland happened in August 69. The battalion at the time was on their summer block leave. By the grace of God, just before we had gone on leave, I had said to my A group, I would suggest that you read up your air transportation précis, because it tends to happen that those who are at the longest notice are required to move at the shortest notice. And anyway, we were called for to go to Northern Ireland while we were on block leave. And my rear party had to go to send out the telegrams to recall people from leave. And they went, we were based at Netheravon, and the postmaster at Netheravon said, we can't cope. 600 telegrams all around the world, we just can't do it in that timescale. So that was, to some extent, taken off his hands. And it was put in the hands also of the BBC. But the battalion was spread all over everywhere. And the telegrams started to go out on the midday on Friday. I, in fact, was with my family in Switzerland. And I got the message early on the Friday afternoon.
You were commanding officer of the battalion?
I was commanding officer of the battalion. And my message was, ring the embassy in Geneva and they will brief you. So I rang the embassy in Geneva and it was all in, their message was all in code. So they weren't able to brief me, except I was able to be told that you're being, the battalion is being recalled to go to Northern Ireland. So, you know, one wasn't entirely, I think. But I didn't get the full information until the Sunday. And in fact, I arrived at Geneva Airport on the Sunday afternoon, where I handed over the keys of the car to my wife and said, the car and the six children are all yours and the best of luck. Because technically, I wasn't allowed to say where I was going. I mean, she knew, because it was quite obvious. And I got on an aeroplane, was met at Heathrow by my driver, who drove me straight to headquarters 3 Division at Tidworth, where I was briefed. And by the time I was briefed, I got to my quarter in Netheravon at about 1:30 in the morning of the Monday morning. I was rung up by the brigade major of 39 Brigade, which was the brigade in Belfast, at 7:30 on Monday morning, who said, "Can you get here as quickly as possible?" So I said, "Yes, we'll get you to you as quickly as possible." And I left my quarter at just after 7:30 on the Monday morning. And went straight to the battalion, which was already doing all the things it should be doing for doing an air move. And in fact, the advance party flew that afternoon and was in Belfast by about 7 o'clock that evening. And as a battalion, we had to take with us all our transport, full scale of G10-98 ammunition, and move by air. That meant taking three tonners, everything, by air. There had been problems, as you can imagine, in drawing a full scale of G10-98 ammunition over a United Kingdom weekend. Ammunition depots are not used to issuing that scale of ammunition over a weekend. There had also been problems in getting hold of people. In fact, we moved as a battalion with fewer absentees than when we went on leave. We did have a message from one chap who'd been on leave in the West Indies, who sent a telegram saying, "I'm coming," which we thought was about the best he could do in the circumstances. As I say, the advance party flew on the Monday afternoon. The main body flew on the Tuesday. The leading company was deployed in Belfast by 10 o'clock on the Wednesday morning. The remainder of the battalion was fully deployed in Belfast by midday on the Thursday. Which, from a standing start, didn't reckon was too bad. On arrival in Belfast, as a battalion, and I had about between 450, 500 men, because we were running down for amalgamation, I was responsible for the whole of Belfast south of the Shankill Road. I had, I think it was about 130 street barricades in my battalion area. And when I say a street barricade, it was from one side of the street to the other of assorted obstacles. The whole about 8 foot high, 8 to 10 foot high, manned by a minimum of about 15 or 20 people. And it was made quite clear to me that the local inhabitants could put up to 1,000 people on any of those barricades within 15 minutes. And I was being invited to take them down. Well, one could have taken any one of those down, by concentrating the battalion. But one had taken one down and you moved to the next street, which was 20 yards away, to take that one down. The one you had just taken down would have been put up again, and I was not prepared to demonstrate that one was in fact that stupid. Yes, they did have to come down. And the only way it became obvious that one could get them down was you had to come to an agreement with the local population that they were prepared for them to be taken down. And in order for them to be prepared to take them down, basically one had to agree to put two soldiers where the barricade had been. Now, it made no military sense to disperse one's battalion into pairs of soldiers like that, because the two soldiers had to be there 24 hours a day. And what one really wanted to do was to be able to observe the end of every street and have mobile troops who could be deployed rapidly if that was necessary to block any street that you wanted. But one eventually had to agree that two soldiers took the place of barricade. And by then I had discovered that I had two hot lines. One was to the adjutant of the old-fashioned IRA, the stickies. It may go against people with the grain to be dealing with the IRA like that, but he was the guy who could control his chaps on the streets. The other person I had a hotline to was the duty priest in the pro-cathedral.
In the what cathedral?
The duty priest in the pro-cathedral. And I could get hold of the duty priest 24 hours a day. I could get hold of the adjutant of the IRA or somebody answering for him 24 hours a day. And those were my two hotlines. And if there was a problem anywhere, then one rang those up and said, either your boys are misbehaving or, you know, your parishioners are misbehaving, and they could do something about it. People would listen to them.
Which community had put up the barricades?
Sorry?
Which community had put up the barricades?
The Catholic community. Because a lot of the Catholic streets had been burnt out. So that was the initial problem. But what it meant was, when one had got the barricades down, my soldiers were in twos at the end of streets.